And you may be seated. Take your Bibles. We're going to be in Psalm 34 this morning. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Another one of those Psalms that we memorized a number of years ago. And we're going to take the time to read the entire psalm. It is 22 verses, and you'll follow along as I read. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 34 is a treasure of biblical poetry. It's been a great help and a great encouragement to many over the years. It's one of those passages that I would encourage you to memorize, and that, again, that we have. The deep passion of Psalm 34 resonates with the common man that goes through periods of difficulty and discouragement. And I think everybody in the room would say that there has been a time when you have gone through difficulty and times of discouragement. And many of the Psalms, last week we're in Psalm 27, do not indicate the background of the Psalm, but this one does. We have a tendency to skip over those, but we're going to go and we're going to read the fine print this morning. So go look in your Bible, Psalm 34, and look before verse 1. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Well, who in the world is that guy? And what are those circumstances? We're going to talk about that this morning. And it is not a contradiction. Just to put that to rest, people look at that and say this is a contradiction. Because it is referring to the events in 1 Samuel chapter 21. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 21, and we're going to look at the circumstances surrounding the background of this psalm. Psalm 1 Samuel 21 talks about Achish, which is true. If this is in that event, which is true, Achish or Abimelech, we're going to talk about that. From 1 Samuel chapter 21, and it is not. But we need to be instructed so we know how to answer those that say two different places in the Bible, and it's called two different things. And how do you answer that? What is the reason behind that seeming It is not, but seeming contradiction of terms and names. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we look at this powerful passage of Scripture that is behind Psalm 34, that we would be able to say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Even though our song comes in a dark moment of life. And so I pray that you speak and that you'd help us and that you would direct our thoughts this morning as we look to your word and you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 21 and 22, we have the dark moment in David's life before he wrote Psalm 34, talking about Abimelech. So let's just start in verse 1 of chapter 21. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech. Now don't miss this, because Ahimelech and Abimelech are two different people. Ahimelech is a priest. He's a priest. David's on the run. Saul is chasing him, and he has fled the kingdom in haste. So he hasn't had time to go back to his room and pack his bags, to get his armor, to get his sword. He has literally been warned, "Saul is coming after you right now. Go." And he just dropped everything and hit the road. So as a result, he does not have doesn't have an overnight bag, doesn't have toothbrush, doesn't have bread, doesn't have food to eat, and you're not going to go very long before you get hungry, and you're not going to be out in this neck of the woods very long before your life is in danger. So he is in need of a couple things. He's in need of food, and he's in need of a weapon. Ahimelech is the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David. Boy, I tell you what, when the number two in command under Saul comes into town, you wonder, what in the world is going on? What have you done wrong that he is here? And why art thou alone and no man with thee? So Ahimelech is a little bit concerned because he sees David, and then he sees that David is alone. And so he's asking, something just doesn't seem right. And so he says to David, "Why are you here?" And David said, verse 2, "Unto Ahimelech the priest, the king has commanded me a business." Has the king commanded him a business? No. And so what has David done? David has lied. "The king has commanded me a business and has said unto me," a lie, "let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee," lie, "and what I have commanded thee," lie, "and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women." David answered the priest and said unto him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days, and since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. And this event, Jesus Christ mentions it when he's talking about in the New Testament. This event that Christ addresses when he says, "Hey, didn't David, he even ate the showbread." But let's look at verse 7. "Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul." Now, that's an interesting phrase, and it seems to be kind of random and dropped in there. But it's not going to be random. And David knew it wasn't random. David saw him and thought to himself, "This guy's going to be a problem." Why? Because David is running from Saul. And David is lying to the priest. And now David sees this guy, this herdman of Saul, loyal to Saul, and he's an Edomite, and this is not a good thing. And David said, verse 8, unto Ahimelech, Is there not here under thine hand sword or spear? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. Now lie again. Now David is just lying one on top of another, and that's typically the way lies come. Just one after another, after another, after another, and where do you stop? So he's trying to explain why he doesn't have bread. He's trying to explain why he doesn't have a sword. He's got the showbread, so he's now his hunger has been satisfied, but he still does not have a spear. And verse 9, the priest says, hey, you remember when you defeated Goliath, you removed his head with a sword. We have that sword here on display. We have that. Verse 9, the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. So here's David. Now he has, he's got food, and now he's got a weapon. It is a very distinct weapon. It is the sword of Saul. Saul was a big man. It is a big sword. David is skilled in battle, so he's able to use this. He's strong enough now at this point that he can use this. It's going to be a help to him. But anybody that would see that would know this is Saul's sword. This is Saul's sword. And David arose, verse 10, and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. So, Pastor, what is it Abimelech? So Ahimelech is the priest. Abimelech and Achish, king of Gath, are the same. Abimelech would be like a pharaoh. It is a term. It is a royal term. It is a family legal type of term. So it is not a conflict between Psalm 34 and 1 Samuel chapter 21. They are the same, two terms of the same. If you said the name of Pharaoh, and then you gave, we know that Pharaoh is a title, but they also, the Pharaohs had names as well, the Herods, notwithstanding. The Pope it just took a name. But if you said he's identified by two different, my name, my name is Philip Bishop, but I'm also the pastor. I have a title. And so if you said it's pastor, you say, well, we got two different people. It's a conflict. It's not a conflict. Abimelech is his title. Achish is his name. But of what is interest here is that he is the king of Gath. Do you remember where Goliath was from? Goliath of Gath. And so here's David that slew Goliath of Gath, and he is running with the sword of Goliath back to Achish, king of Gath. Did you recognize that sometimes when you're on the run, that you don't make the best decisions? That you may kind of say, well, every once in a while, Mrs. Bishop will say to me, What were you thinking? Well, here's the thing. I wasn't. If I was thinking, I wouldn't have done that. But I wasn't thinking. I certainly wasn't thinking clearly. And so here's David. He's just on the run. And he's kind of making decisions on the fly. And he's lying along the way. And so he's going to make another decision. God said, hey, man, boy, David, you're on a roll. Just have at it. And God just kind of, you can almost see God up in heaven shake his head and fold his arms and say, well, this isn't going to end well. What is this guy thinking? And so he shows up to Achish, king of Gath, with the sword of Goliath. And verse 10, David rose up, fled that day for fear of Saul, went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him and dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Isn't this guy being here is not a good thing. This guy is not our friend. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Now he's on a roll here with his lies. He has lied to Ahimelech, the priest, and now he is before Abimelech. So he comes into the land, and he's got, what is he armed with? He's armed with the sword of Goliath. What lie is he going to tell that justifies him being in Gath before Achish with the sword of Goliath? Man, this is not good. People grab him. I can see him. And now he's in irons. And now he's before the king, Abimelech, and Achish, king of Gath. And the accusation is, this guy comes into here with Saul's sword. He is not our friend. He is not here on peaceful purposes. David's kind of making it up as he goes. Verse 13, David changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let spittle fall down on his beard. Drool, foamy stuff coming down. And Achish then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And verse 22, therefore David departed. Now, keep your finger here because we're going to go through Psalm 22 to give you the full picture of what's going on. Psalm 34, the fine print says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Verse 20, chapter 22, verse 1 is that departation, if you will. David therefore departed thence and escaped to a cave, Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Let's drop down to verse 6. Saul heard that David was departed. He's not a happy camper. Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men were with him. Now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then said Saul unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? Saul is saying, listen, this guy doesn't have power to help you. Why are you hiding him? Why are you enabling him? I'm the king. I'm the one that has the power to give you these things. Then that all of you have conspired me. Saul is not in a good place mentally. He's living in fear. And there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you that is sorry for me and showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. This is a rant of a guy that is grasping at straws to stay on the throne. Verse 9. Then answered who? Doeg the Edomite. Oh, you remember that guy from the previous chapter, right? Verse 7 of chapter 21. It seemed to be random, but it's not random. God is documenting for us. Samuel is documenting for us who is there in the room. Let's read verse 7 again. Now, certain of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and it's not accidental, and his name was Doeg the Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. Read verse 9 now of chapter 22. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, and to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, "Hear now, thou son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here I am, my lord." And Saul said unto him, "Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at that day?" Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, who is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and honoreth in thine house?" Ahimelech is saying, "Listen, this guy is your trusted soldier on the battlefield. He has given you victory. He's your son-in-law. Why would I ever suspect that he is not in good standing? I mean, there's been a newspaper. Is this something I'm supposed to see? There's been some scandal. I mean, I'm just not privy to that kind of stuff. He's come. He's your son-in-law. He says he needs help. Why wouldn't I help him?" Now, let's just think about it from the other angle. Let's say that what all David had said was true, that he was sent by Saul. And he comes to Ahimelech, and Ahimelech says, "I'm not helping you." How do you think that's going to end up? You're going to have me called back in here, and you're going to say, "I sent David, my chiefest servant. Well, how am I supposed to know he's still on good standing? Well, he's my son-in-law, for goodness sake." He's like, you see, this isn't going to end well. But David lied on his behalf. Saul is not thinking clearly. And so, verse 15, "Did I inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more." And the king said, "Thou shalt surely die. Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house." And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, "Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled, and he did not show it to me." But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall on the priests of the Lord. But Doeg the Edomite will. Verse 18, the king said to Doeg, "Turn thou and fall on the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew that day 80 persons. A score is 20, and there's 80. 20, 40, 60, 85 men that Doeg slew that were put in a compromising position because David lied. Lie, 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 lie. When you lie, it affects people around you. And David did. David did. Megachurch pastor was in the news this week. He has resigned. He is accused of having several sock puppets. And he's saying, "What in the world is a sock puppet?" Well, you go online on a message board and you make an alias and you pretend to be somebody that you're not. And he used that to attack people in the university, the seminary and the church and leaders and people that have spoken at the conferences. And so he would use these aliases to attack these people that he didn't agree with. Somehow they figured out that it was this guy, this pastor. And so the church leadership brought him in. And they said, is this you? And he said, no, that's not me. And they came back to him and said, "Hey, come on now. This really looks like, this sounds like you. This sounds like something you said. Is this you?" And he said, no, that's not me. And he lied and he lied and he lied and he lied. And finally it came out. Something they identified in there or traced back, or one of the IT guys did, I don't know how, but they finally figured out that he was the guy that was doing this, and they said, you lied to us. And they fired him from being the pastor. Now, there are some that would say that they fired him because he was attacking them. They had been attacked, and they didn't like that because something they had done wrong or something that they had been out of step with. That powerful people don't like to be accused of things. Where is the truth? I don't know. The truth is still yet to be determined. Where is the truth in here? The truth is still yet to be determined. Saul certainly doesn't know it. And David is about to be informed that because of his lies, the 85 servants of the Lord just lost their life. Verse 20. One of the sons of Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David knew at the moment that he told those lies, and the moment that he took that sword, and the moment that he took that bread, and the moment that he saw Doeg the Edomite in the previous chapter, that was going to be a problem, and he confesses it right here. Verse 22, and David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day. I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. It's my fault. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh thy life seeketh my life, seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. And it is that moment that David writes Psalm 34, O magnify with the Lord with me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. And David is in a heap of trouble. His lies, his actions, his misdeeds have caused the death of 85 priests of the Lord. His misdeeds have caused him not to think straight and taken with him Goliath his sword and fled to Achish, king of Gath. Yet in his misdeeds, God still is faithful. Faithful to him, faithful to help. And God is the Lord God Almighty. What's interesting, what is missing? So here's the question. What is missing in Psalm 34? You read through Psalm 34, and we did, all 22 verses, and you'll not hear David talk about Doeg the Edomite. You'll not hear him talk about Achish, king of Gath. But in the fine print, in the heading above, it tells us, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. And it is a brief mention to these two chapters of Scripture. What is missing from this psalm is David, in Psalm 34, rehearsing the background of what had happened. Brief mention in the heading, and then David proceeds to magnify God and God's grace and God's goodness. Let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that... Why is he not talking about Ahimelech, 85 slain priests, Achish? Why is he not talking about Doeg the Edomite? Why is he not talking about any of those things? David does not mention that his failure cost Ahimelech and fellow priests their life, though it did. When we sin, it absolutely affects others. But pastor, it is chronicled in God's word. Yes, it is. But it is not chronicled by David. It is chronicled by Samuel. Samuel chronicled the events. Say, pastor, that doesn't make any sense to me. What's the issue? The issue is David is not glorying in his past sin. David is glorying in the grace of God. Again, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Now, God had Samuel write about it so that we would know that when you lie, there are repercussions. When you lie, people lose their lives. When you lie, you get yourself into impossible situations. When you fail to trust in the Lord, but even when you fail, I will be faithful. Samuel writes of the failure. David writes of God's faithfulness. Listen, it is important to take ownership of our sin. It absolutely is. Our shortcomings. But there is a line between what we acknowledge and what we glory in. David is not going to glory in his lies, and he's not going to, in Psalm 34, he does not glory in the death of the priests, and he does not glory in Doeg the Edomite. His failure is noted, the reference is made to these two chapters, but he does not glory in those failures. We should not wear our past failures as a badge of honor. But many people do. Have you ever been to a church service where they did testimonies? And somebody stands up in the room and goes, "Let me tell you about how terrible of a person I was, and all the women I slept with, and all the drugs I took, and all the people I had killed on the streets of the city." And they go on and on and on. And then God saved me. And the people in the room think, "Wow, that man has a testimony. I got saved when I was 5 years of age, and I didn't kill anybody, and I didn't deal any drugs, and I, 5 years of age, I didn't defile myself with any women. I don't have a testimony." What has that man done? He is glorified in his sin. David is not glorified in that. It is enough to say that I was a vile, dirty, rotten, low-down sinner, and God saved me from all of that. Now that is enough. And that, in the fine print, David does that. When David changed his behavior before Abimelech, Achish, king of Gath. That's it. In the fine print that most people aren't even reading. David acknowledges what precipitated, but his focus is on the glory of the Lord. Our failure today is our failure to magnify God, God's glory, God's honor, the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. And sadly, in humanity today, we seem to relish in knowing all the sordid details. And boy, you can find it out. You can find it out on Facebook. You can find it out on the message boards. You can find it out. Used to be, get on the phone and call somebody. You don't have to get on the phone anymore. You just do a few taps and you can find out who did what, where they went, how they did it. You can find out all the sordid details. And we did. We went to 1 Samuel 20, 21, 22. We know the sordid details behind it. But David is not focusing on the sordid details. Question was asked this week of a bunch of preachers. Is watching immorality, pornography, a violation of the scriptural prohibition of fornication and adultery? A pretty easy question. The answer is absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. Whosoever looketh on a woman that lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. But the preachers were reticent to answer the question for fear that they'd offend somebody. They didn't answer the question. It's absolutely sinful. It absolutely is. What does it need to be done? What needs to be done? It needs to be repented of. By the time you get to Psalm 34, David has repented of that. He's put it in his past, and God has put it in the past. God documents it in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and 22 so that we would know not to go down this path. But you let God point it out. Don't you relish in it. And again, there is a fine line. The dark truth is David's desperation to flee, to run, has led him in a path of darkness. He fled in fear. That desperation made him make decisions that he would not have. If somebody said, hey, David, why don't you take Saul's sword and go down to Achish, king of Gath, and just see what their reaction is. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? And David would have said, that's stupid. That being dumb. I mean, why would anybody in their right mind do that? But here's David, and he's doing it. Why? Because he's in a dark time. Just beware. You're going through a dark time of life. Don't make hasty decisions that in calmer times you would never do. What happened in 1 Samuel 21:22? David's faith failed. But God didn't fail. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Clapped in irons, brought before Achish. Wonder what was going through his mind. What story can I tell that is going to explain why I have this sword? There is no story. There is no lie. Because in his hand he bore the sword of Goliath, a very powerful, offensive relic. But in the midst of that, in the midst of his failure, in the midst of his lies, in the midst of the death of 85 priests, in the midst of his pretending like he was a madman, God was faithful. David is in the midst of an intense personal crisis, but God is faithful. And so he boasts in the Lord. He does not boast in his past. Let me tell you about the lies I told to Ahimelech. Lie. He knew something was up. Boy, I put one over on him. And not a good thing. And David doesn't do that. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Boast in the Lord, not in your past sin, not in your past shame. We should stop relishing in the darkness. So David puts that fame, that shame, in a small print. Vague reference. A warning to not continue or relish in sin. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law had entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's the end of chapter 5. The chapter divisions are not inspired. Chapter 6, verse 1 comes in. And in the midst of Paul talking about that, he says in chapter 6, verse 1, shall I continue in sin that grace may much more abound? God forbid. Shall we relish in our sin to make grace seem more graceful? Paul would say, God forbid. God forbid that we should do that. Paul gave his testimony of God's grace, but he did not cross the line into glorying in that sin. Do not glory in the shame. Do not glory in the shameful. Give glory to God. Magnify the Lord with me. Desperation in wandering and going astray, seek his face. There is mercy for the faint of heart. Well, Pastor, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is lying. North Texas pastor was removed from his pulpit. Seems like there's an epidemic in North Texas. Several North Texas pastors in high-profile positions have been removed from their pulpits because of immorality. In the headlines this week, a pastor removed from the pulpit charged with lying and spiritual abuse. Confronted by three leaders, he fired the leaders rather than resigning the church. When the leaders were fired, 50% of the church left. Pastor stayed, church is wrecked. What is that? That's Saul leadership, that's Absalom leadership. That's not David leadership, a man after God's own heart. Does not mean that David was perfect, but it means that when David realized, I have lied, my lies have cost Ahimelech 85 of them their lives. I have gone to the world for help, Achish, king of Gath, when I should have gone to the Lord, and I didn't do that. He writes Psalm 34. Let's read it again. I will bless the Lord. Now you know the background. Let's read the psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord. Not Ahimelech, not Abimelech, not Saul, not life. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. I wonder where that came from. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Why? Verse 15, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. But I know personally the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But strive to be righteous. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And even though I sin and I've cost people their lives, my sin has resulted in terrible things. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him, me, David, out of them all, keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. In 1 Samuel 21 and 22, David, on the run, did not know where to turn. Until finally turned to the Lord. In the New Testament, we have Judas. He did not know where to turn. Turned to the priest that could not help him. He went out and hung himself. Do you know where to turn? You're here this morning, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm in a time of desperation, trouble, failure. Would you pray that God would help me to radiate the Lord Jesus Christ, to look unto his face, look to him for help in my time of trouble? Pastor, going through a time of trouble, I just need you to pray for me this morning. I'll do it right now. Pastor, would you pray for me? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being here at Lighthouse Baptist Church and with these precious folks, and I pray that you would help them. They're going through a time of trouble. I pray that they would look to you, that they would not concoct lies and desperation go to the world to seek solutions for their trouble, but may they come to you, pour out their heart, their soul before you, and may they find your grace to be sufficient. May they be able to say in the midst of their trouble, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I am without Christ. I am an enemy of the cross. I need God to be my shepherd. I'm just not saved. Need to be saved. Preacher, would you pray for me? Slip your hand up and hold that up this morning. Let me pray for you. Let me lead you to Christ. I'd be delighted to do that. Is there one? Let's stand to our feet. The piano is playing. The altar is open. The invitation will not be delayed. God has spoken. You want to pray? You can. Piano plays. Will you come?